Now we're going to read together from God's Word. We're going to go to our text, which is in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. But we're going to read some verses a couple of pages on from that in Titus chapter 2. So for visitors, we're going back to our series in 1 Timothy. Beginning of the year, coming up to just before Easter, we were going carefully through each verse and section in 1 Timothy. And we've got to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. So that's what we're going to read together. And then to help us in that, and as a sort of companion passage, because we believe that the Bible comments on itself, so we don't take verses out of context. We see that the Bible talks about other parts of the Bible in the Bible. It's the most remarkable book in the world, and we're going to read from Titus chapter 2. So here's our text this morning in 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Paul is writing to Timothy. He is the pastor of the church in Ephesus, and he's somewhat younger than Paul, and he says to Paul says to him this: "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." So that's where we're going to home in on a little bit later on. But let's read, turn a few pages over, and you'll come to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus was sent to the island of Crete to be someone who appointed pastors and elders in the churches, the new churches there. And he himself, therefore, was to be a pastor of the church in on that island. And Paul is writing to him. And he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Well, we're going to look at 1 Timothy, but that's worth keeping a marker in so we can look at that a little bit later on. So please turn with me to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Each year we choose a church text so that it remains with us through the year. And usually I preach on that text on the first Sunday of the year. Our church text this year is simply this: be an example. It's on our little prayer card. There are some outside if you'd like one. Be an example. Well, it's not the first Sunday of the new year. Plans went a little bit astray. Here we are right in the middle of the year, and here we are at our text. And I think the word that stands out in verse 12 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, without a doubt, is the word example. That is the big word in this text. And one of my favorite quotations, you've heard me say it before, those of you who've been on House Party and so on, is from a man called Thomas Boston. He was a Puritan pastor back in the 17th century, and he said this: example is the most powerful rhetoric. Example is the most powerful rhetoric. What does he mean? Well, here's a little exercise for you to do over lunch. Don't do it now because you'll be distracted. But over lunch, get a piece of paper or talk this through with those who are at lunch with you and write down or think through the five, if you're older, or the three, if you're younger, most influential people in your life to date for good. So think of the five or the three most influential men or women in your life who've influenced your life for good thus far. And you will find, almost certainly, that it is their example, their life lived out, their actions that have influenced you maybe even more than their words. And there is a saying, isn't there? Actions speak louder than words. So Thomas Boston is saying this: example, somebody's example speaks very loudly. A person who says things but doesn't live them out is a hypocrite. And Jesus had some very hard things to say about hypocrites, and at times we're all hypocrites, aren't we? Hypocrite means a play actor, and we all play act. But an example is somebody who talks the talk and walks the walk. And it's that walk, it's their life that is the rhetoric, the most powerful part of it. They say what they say, and they walk it, they live it in their lives, and therefore they're worthy of us perhaps following, copying, and imitating them. Did you notice in the passage that we read together in Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul's writing to Titus, who is a pastor like Timothy, and he says to him this, verse 7, Titus 2, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. A pattern. And a pattern is something that we follow. When we are children, we learn how to trace things because we can't freehand draw. And so we trace over something. And I was rubbish at drawing. Lee remind us about art. Terrible at art. But I could trace something. And what Paul is saying to Titus is, you be someone whose life is worthy of others tracing and following after you. Not that Titus is the example, not that I am the example or you are the example. The standard is set high for the Christian. The ultimate example is Jesus, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's made very, very plain in God's word. We are not to follow the men, but only the men as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So in 1 Peter 2:21 it says this: Christ also leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Christ's example, following his steps. In Hebrews 12 we're told to look unto Jesus. Consider him. Follow him. Jesus himself says in John 13, verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. And when you think of the context of that, Jesus spoke much, but when he said that, it was when he had washed the disciples' feet. It was what he did. It was his actions that spoke as loud, and in that instance, possibly louder than his words. And he says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. So the best of examples for us as Christians, follow Christ. He is the example. We don't want people to follow us. We want people to follow Christ in us. We've been thinking about John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb. John the Baptist. Jesus must increase. I must decrease. And the greatest good that you can do to anyone in this life, if you long to do good for people, the greatest good that you can do is to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ by what you say and what you do. Both are vital. I was reading this week and I read this. Somebody had says this. Man is a creature that is led more by patterns than precepts. Man is a creature that is led more by patterns than precepts. That's true, isn't it? You know, it's very often the pattern of somebody else's life that we follow more so than by the precepts that we learn and the instructions that we hear. Happens with children, doesn't it? You know, you can tell a child something till they're blue in the face, but if older brother or older sister does it, the younger one does it too and follows. And that applies for good and bad, doesn't it? It applies for both. Well, this makes the text very, very important, doesn't it? 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, let no man despise your youth, but be an example. This is a crucial subject because if people do, if Christians do, if we all do, if we follow patterns, even more perhaps than precepts, then we have got to look at this very, very carefully. And we're going to do it over 2 weeks, this week and next week. So this verse is what I call a chocolate orange verse. Okay? So do you know what a chocolate orange is? There is one in our house. I found it this morning. Anne now knows. I know where it is. Right? The thing is, I wanted to know. I know how many points I've got this week and next week. And I wondered if it was the same as the chocolate orange. But to do that, I've got to open the chocolate orange and do what you do. You tap it, don't you? And the segments fall out. I haven't had the nerve to do that. But now I've confessed this. I might do it this week. And I might know how many points there are. But this verse is like a chocolate orange. There are a number of segments to it. And we need all the pieces to fit together. We need it all to understand this. So if you're here this week, you've got to come next week. And if you're listening on the internet or whatever, you've got to listen next week as well, because it all fits together. This is a chocolate orange verse. But it is in two parts. So we take one part this week and one part next week. Look at this verse carefully with me and you'll see the two halves. This week we're going to think of the B half. So let no one despise your youth, but be an example. This is the B half. If you've got an NIV Bible or an ESV Bible, it says set. It could be the set verse, the set half. It's B. Three general principles this morning. Then next week, we're going to look at the in half. It says, be an example to the believers. But you see what it says later on? It says, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So next week is the in half. But all needs to fit together. So we need it all. So this week we're going to look at the B half. The B half. And there's three segments of our chocolate orange this morning. Three segments. Here's the first one. Paul is writing to Timothy as a Christian. Now, he's writing to Timothy as a Christian pastor, but I believe that the application is for us all. And here is the first thing as a Christian. One, example operates at all stages of the Christian life. Okay, example operates at all stages of the Christian life. And we see something of that in the way that Paul writes. He says, let no one despise your youth. Now, when we think of example, we usually think of someone older being an example. But here Paul is saying, don't despise, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. So example operates at all stages of the Christian life, even though someone is younger. In the NIV it says, don't let anyone look down on you, be an example. So it may be less experienced, may not just be age, may be less experienced. Now why is Paul writing like this? Well, because in Greece, in those days, in Greek culture, where Timothy was the pastor of the Greek city of Ephesus, the emphasis there was, as you got older, the old age of the person brought with it wisdom and brought with it example. So younger people couldn't be examples. In Greek culture, they looked to the older to be the wiser, to be the example. And Timothy was not in that category. So Paul says, this is a little bit difficult and different for you, Timothy. You are young. How old was Timothy? Well, here's some encouragement for some of you. He was between 35 and 40. Let's say he was 40. You're still young if you're 40. He was younger than would be expected. Now, question is, when are you old? We've got some friends from China here. We've got some friends from the United States here. We have a saying in this country that you're old when the policemen look young. For me, I go into a lot of schools, and I tell you this, you're old when the teachers are so young. Seriously, who of you had heard of Ariana Grande before Monday? If you hadn't, you're old. She's only 23, by the way. And Paul says you can be an example when you're young. Timothy, you've got to be a Christian example even when you're young. The word youth is a word which comes from neos, word new. So even we could say, extrapolating that, as a fairly new Christian, you can be an example. Now, just turn over again to Titus chapter 2, and note this with me. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, but as for you, now you, Titus, like Timothy, you've got to be a pattern of good works, you've got to be an example. So you've got to do it, but look at the way that Paul sets these things out. In verse 2, he says, you've got to be an example to the older men. The older men have got to be an example to the younger ones. In verse 3, it says, the older women, they've got to be an example too. To what? In verse 4, the younger women. And there's younger men in verse 6. And so what he's saying is this, there is a relativity in Christian living in the church. There are those who are older in years. There are those who are more experienced. And always, always, somebody is younger than you. So, you may be just a teenager, and you've become a Christian recently, and you've been baptized in this last week, and you're certainly not an old person, a wise old bird, but you are an example, because there's someone younger than you, less experienced than you as a Christian, who is looking to you. And you may be a young married person and somebody and another couple is looking to you and saying, so that's how the Christian lives a married life. And you may be a young mum or a young dad and there are others who haven't got children yet who are looking at you and saying, so that is how you are as a Christian young mum or dad. And you may be a leader in the church, and Timothy and Titus were leaders, and Titus was told that he could be a pattern to all. So it doesn't matter what if you're a Christian this morning, whether you're a man or a woman, boy or a girl, young person, whoever you are an example. You are a pattern to others behind you. Don't think that this text this text, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, be an example. Don't think that's just for older people. Don't think that's just for more experienced Christians. You are in this text if you're a Christian. Paul says, don't let anyone despise your youth. Don't let anybody look down, as it were, on you. You're an example to others. Someone is watching you. Someone is copying your example. It is one of the greatest challenges for Christians today. Because other Christians are watching you. And if the church in our country has declined in its commitment and faithfulness and godliness, it is because we have been the example. And if we continue to be, don't be surprised if things go on downwards. But if it's the other way round, God can use godly example to influence us for good. So that's the first thing this morning. Example operates at all stages of the Christian life. Be an example. Secondly, example operates particularly in the local church, in the church where it's manifest locally. So here we have what we call a local church. It's Christians gathered in a place, in a locality. It's the, what we call the local church. That's a doctrinal term. You can see that here. It says, be an example to the believers. Well, there are all sorts of terms for Christians, aren't there, in the New Testament. Here's one, to the believers. Be an example to the believers. The context of what Paul is writing to Timothy about is the church of which Timothy is the pastor. So here's the church in Ephesus. Timothy has got to be an example in that church. Doesn't matter that he's younger than some other people. He's got to be the example, an example. And every Christian, if you are a Christian, doesn't matter how old you are, what your background or what your thinking is, biblically, every Christian should be joined to a church of like-minded believers. Not floating about from church to church and just like we go to the supermarket, we'll buy our meat at Tesco, but we do like the vegetables at Asda, and we go for our fruit to Morrison's. That is consumer Christianity. That is not biblical, and it's becoming more and more common. And it's a fearful thing. It's an example of bad church life and Christian living. Paul is writing to Timothy in the context of the church of which he is, well, he's the pastor. He's got to be committed, hasn't he? He is the member there. Now, we're saying this because the operating principle towards the outside world is different to the operating principle in the church. Turn with me just for a moment to Matthew chapter 5. Keep your finger in 1 Timothy 4 and we'll illustrate this. So in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ is standing on the mountain side and he is preaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he says. So he's preaching to Christians. This is living the Christian life. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. So Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, look at what he calls you and the effect. You, Christian, are the salt of the, what? Earth. Out there. So he's not talking about your influence in the church as such, but in the world. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to thrown out and trampled under the foot by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. The world out there. Here's the operating principle for the Christian in the world. Salt and light. Look at verse 16. Let your light, Christian, so shine before men, that's generally people, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So this is a different subject. Jesus is saying this. If you're a Christian, when you go to work, not tomorrow because it's bank holiday, but if you go to work or college or wherever on Tuesday, you are in the world. You are a Christian. Whatever you do, whatever you say is light and it is salt. It's light because the world is darkness. You know the light of the world. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't cover that light up, he says. You've got to be like a city on a hill. You've got to be a light. Who puts something over a light? That's crackers. That's ridiculous. No, the light shines out. You're a Christian. You're living in the world. You're salt. You are stopping the world from getting worse. So when those filthy jokes and those things that are being said, and people say, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to swear like that. You are salt. And that is what you are. That's the operating principle in the world. The earth, the world, men. Now, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. The operating principle in the church is the word example. Example. Pattern setting within the church. That's clear, isn't it? Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers, to other Christians. Be an example. Now, one of the things in the early church was that they committed themselves together in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayer meeting, and in fellowship. That word is a Greek word, koinonia, shared life. And so what Timothy is being told here, there's a shared life amongst believers, and you, Timothy, and every Christian in that shared life in the church is an example. You are an example, Christian, which others are looking at and following. Now, the pastor must be, and elders must be, clearly examples. But everyone is an example. And we share life together in the church, and we're examples to one another. That is why this is all so important in the church. So, this time, keep 1 Timothy 4 available, and then go to Hebrews chapter 6. If you go to Hebrews chapter 6, we'll read something helpful on this. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. Hebrews 6 and verse 9. It's going to read from verse 9 to verse 12. Now, the writer to the Hebrews is writing to Christians in churches who are under attack, and they're in danger of going back to old ways. And in fact, there's some problem with some that they've perhaps never really even been converted at all. In verse 9, Hebrews 6, verse 9, he says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. So there are some in the church who've slipped away, perhaps, have never been converted in the various churches to which this letter is going to be read. But he says, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So here's service in the church. The saints, not people in stained glass windows, Christians. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Can you see the operating principle here? In the church, it's one of those who are living the Christian life well through faith and patience, and others imitating, copying, following that pattern. That's why it is so important when our attendance slips, and when our commitment falters, and when our love for the Lord wanes. It's so desperately important, because others will follow us. And we know this: it is far easier to go down than up. One of the houses we lived in when our first two children were very, very small, had a garden on a hill, and they had bikes and scooters and everything. And it was very easy for them to go down, but they required dad or mum to help them come back up. It's very easy to be bad examples. So if we're not fully functioning as a member of the church, and if we're not walking with the Lord as we should do, and in contact with other believers, praying and sharing and working and growing and rejoicing and even grieving together, we cannot fulfill this text, can we? We can't fulfill this text. Be, it's the be half, be an example. Now, it doesn't matter what stage in the Christian life you are, you're to be an example. And the second thing is, it operates particularly in the church. And here's the third thing. Example operates incidentally and intentionally. So example can operate incidentally and intentionally. I'm saying that because here we have an example of intentional example. That's the word be, isn't it? Paul says, Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. That's intentional exampling, intentional patterning. Sometimes we're not aware of our example, are we? Sometimes, rightly, we're not conscious of our example, and that's good. That's right. We live out our Christian lives. We're not to sort of consciously walk around as if we've got some sort of mobile spotlight on us and say, hey, look at me. We're not to do that. We're to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And unconsciously, as we example him, then others follow. And that's good and right and true and is the case. But we can unconsciously, in our unguarded moments, be a bad example, can't we? We can be a poor example. We can be very lax in what we do and say and how we live. And we unconsciously are therefore being examples to others. I can think about this in my Christian life. I use the poor Christian living of others to excuse my poor Christian life. We know what it's like in families. Let's just change the picture for a minute. Think of a family. Are you a dad? I'm a dad. One of the most, I don't know what the word is, shaking things is when you see yourself in your son. And he copies your worst habits. And he copies your poor attitude. And your character flaws are in him. Mum, it's the same, isn't it? You look at your daughter or your son, could be either way around, couldn't it? And our eldest son said recently about something, Dad, I'm turning into you. Well, that's a bit worrying. But what happens is, isn't it, that as mums or dads, we see our children growing up and we've never, never intentionally taught them our bad habits. We never said, come sit on the sofa with me. Let me tell you about my bad habit. Let me tell you about my character flaws. And then you can just follow them. We've never done that, yet they do it. Now, it makes parenting an awesome task. We have to be on our watch, and we have to be on our top form, as it were. But think of the church as a family. It is right to do so. To think of the church as a family. We'll never forget when we talked to Chloe before her baptism, and we said, Chloe, why do you want to become a church member? She said, because it's a family. Because it's a family. Now, if it's a family and we're examples, what we are doing, therefore, is intentionally or even incidentally, we are causing others to be like us. Now, Paul says, therefore, to Timothy, be an example. And obviously, he doesn't say to him, be a bad example. And we're going to see next week what he says the areas of example are going to be. You can see them. But he says, be an example. So we must think about this as something intentional. This is not incidental stuff. This is intentional, isn't it? We have to think about this very carefully. We have to pray about this. We have to consider it carefully. We have to repent over it when things go horribly wrong. We can rejoice over it when we see others making progress. We can give thanks to God for example in the church. Think of our dear friend Arthur. What an example he has been to us. And now he's not here. So you and I have to be that example to others. We have to consciously, constantly review this whole matter. And it's no good just having a title, is it? You know, Timothy was an elder. But it's no good just being an elder. Timothy, in chapter 5 and verse 17, was an elder who ruled and was one who was worthy of double honour. That means that he was paid. A paid elder, a paid pastor. He was salaried by the church. There's no good just being that, was it? And in chapter 4 and verse 12, verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, by the laying on of hands of the eldership. In other words, it was seen very clearly that Timothy was a very, very gifted young man, and he was separated out for the ministry. But it's no point doing any of those things, just being those things, unless he was going to be an example. An example. This week I picked up a book which every Christian should read. If you've never read it, I think you should read it. It is by John Piper. It is a book called Don't Waste Your Life. Don't Waste Your Life. And this is what he writes. I wrote it down. God created us to live with a single passion, to joyfully display his supreme excellence in all the spheres of life. The wasted life is the life without this passion. God calls us to pray, to think, to dream, to plan and work, not to be made much of, but to make much of him. Now, if Jesus is our passion, we will be passionate about this matter of example. When Paul says to Timothy, be an example, he says to him, make this your intention, Timothy. This is not incidental stuff. This is intentional example. And Timothy had to realize that poor example would hinder others, but good example could be such a help. On Wednesday, many of us attended a very, very special service, didn't we? To thank God for the life of Arthur Ferdinando. And what was it that shone through that service? It was Arthur's Christ-like example. And we had three things. His gentleness. His prayerfulness. And his faithfulness. He was Mr. Always There. You know who's meant to be on the door this evening at the church? Who's on the door rotor? Arthur Ferdinando. Arthur Ferdinando is in heaven. What a picture for us. Who is going to follow Arthur as an example? And the challenge to me was this. If it was my Thanksgiving, if I'd gone to glory, if you had died and it was your Thanksgiving service, what example would be spoken of about you and me? This is the B half. Perhaps during the week you could read the verse and think about the in half. And then we'll put it all together next week. Let's sing our last hymn together. This hymn, the fourth hymn, is a very, very well-known hymn. And it was written by just a lovely, lovely lady, by Frances Ridley Havergal. And the story behind the hymn is at the bottom of the hymn sheet. And you can take it away and read that little story, why she wrote this hymn. And she just epitomized what we've been saying. If you know anything about her life, as a single lady who died relatively young, yet she epitomized all that we've been saying this morning. Let's sing her hymn. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.